I said when kind of advertising what we were doing today in varying places that we wanted to have a look at baptism. And specifically to have a look at Jesus's baptism. When we were doing the previous series we've done just on cycling, on connecting to God in all sorts of situations, I just touched at the very beginning of that on Jesus's baptism, and I felt that it would be good to come back and have a look at that. We also have a baptism service coming up in the 17th of July, and so I thought, well, in leading up to that, maybe people it would be good to consider. If you've been baptized, then you can just refresh and maybe look again at why you did it. And if you haven't, then this is an opportunity for you to look at why Jesus did it, and maybe that will give you a fresh impetus to be baptized. Jesus said, "Believe and be baptized." So it's a good starting point. There weren't too many kind of absolute direct sort of things like that. Jesus sort of love God and love people, believe and be baptized. There's a couple of big hitters in terms of what Jesus said. So you may have seen a baptism. You may understand what baptism is. When I'm talking about baptism, I'm not talking about infant baptism, where I believe that is parents taking their children and dedicating them to God in a hope that and in a position of faith that as they're brought up, that one day they will make a decision for Jesus themselves. That's great. If you want to do that and have that's happened to you, brilliant. But this is adult baptism. This is about you making a personal decision for yourself. This is about you taking the information and saying, I am going to decide to follow Jesus. And ultimately, if Jesus got baptized, then we should be following him. We should be doing it because he did it. But equally, we should be understanding why he did it. So that's the reason we're doing it. And I think that's where sometimes there's a little bit of sort of missing understanding, because probably if you're like me, yes, there is that sort of declaring you're following, Jesus was baptized, so we're following Jesus, so we want to get baptized. So we're baptism is often described as a public declaration of our following Jesus, which is great. Sometimes baptism is about joining particular churches. You're baptized into the church family or into the kind of belonging to a church, and that has some benefits, but I'm not sure it has too much scriptural backup in terms of Jesus wasn't doing that. He didn't say, "Now I'm joined this particular establishment." So anyway, we'll leave that. You will often hear of the kind of understanding the death and resurrection, so that we're symbolizing our kind of death as we go into the waters of baptism, just like Jesus died and we're resurrected a new creature, a new creation, a new start, fresh start. And that I think is quite good and has got some positive overtones, being cleansed and washed of all the things that stop us having a relationship with God. So those are some of the things you might have seen. In practical terms, full immersion baptism is just as it says on the can. You take someone and you fully immerse them under the water, and then you bring them back up again. And Reuben, my nephew, has just had that opportunity to do that in Cornwall, and there was a great celebration as he was baptized, and he had a good time. So that gives you the kind of context of what we're talking about. But let's dive into a little bit of the why. Jesus came, he said of himself, to restore what was lost, to seek and save the things that were lost, to kind of re-establish the kingdom of God here on earth, to say that it is possible to live a life as it is in heaven, so it will be on earth. It's possible to bring that original design and live it here on earth. And that's kind of what we are demonstrating and wanting to demonstrate. We're wanting to live a life that's free of fear, that's free of anxiety, that's free of all the things that this world squeezes us into, this mold of this world, you know, cost of living crisis, we've heard it once, you know, is that starting to get to us? Or are we saying, no, my God will supply all my needs? Are we saying, you know, no, we will not worry because we look at the flowers and we look at the birds and we see how much God does for those and therefore he will do that for us? And is that a living reality? Or are we, you know, gearing up for a winter when we don't put the heating on? So, you know, I know it's a challenge, but that's what we're here to do. So Jesus was taking these two kingdoms, the kingdom of this world, which is a counterfeit, which is the opposite of the kingdom of God in every way. And he was coming in and saying, no, I'm going to demonstrate what the kingdom of heaven, what the kingdom of God looks like. And in simple terms, you could sort of say, look, this, I don't know what this looks like to you, but it's dark blue. Let's say it's blue. It is blue. It could look black on some screens, but it's blue. So Jesus arrives demonstrating a color that we haven't seen before. He's blue and no one else is blue. He is free of sin. So he didn't need to be baptized to get rid of his sin because he had no sin. And we're supposed to be this color. We're supposed to be blue. We're supposed to be living a blue life. But if you look at ourselves and you look at everyone around us, actually everyone's green. Stick with this, but basically everyone around has been affected by this world. And if you take the yellow of this world and you mix it with the blue of what we were original design, you get green. So baptism, if you like, takes us back, washes out the yellow and brings us back up blue. But how do we stay this color? If you know anything about trying to live a good life, you know it doesn't work and it's impossible to do. So there must be another way that the kingdom of God works that isn't about trying our hardest. And for some people that might be the challenge. They got baptized, they thought they were never going to sin ever again and they were going to be a completely different person, and then they didn't. It didn't work out. And that's because they were looking at it through the lens of John's baptism, the baptism of repentance, and not through Jesus's baptism. In practical terms, what happened? John was baptizing people, and as we know, he went before Jesus. He was to usher Jesus in. So he was taking people and who wanted to change and saying, okay, be baptized. But he was baptizing them for the repentance of their sins. And then he was saying to them, do things differently, live differently. This is something about the inside of you, not the outside of you. This is about washing you clean inside and making a change in your life. And it was a different thing for each person. He said, you know, if you've got two coats, give one to someone who hasn't. And then the tax collector said, well, what should we do? And he said, well, don't take more tax than you should. Take the amount that you should. So there was a sort of individual different thing for different people. It wasn't a one size fits all, but it was very much about the inside and not the outside. And that was a new thing in itself, in terms of baptism. And then Jesus comes along and John goes, well, you don't need this. You know, what are you doing here? you should be baptizing me. I shouldn't be baptizing you. And Jesus says very clearly, he says, I need to be baptized so that all righteousness is fulfilled. He says, you know, I'm going to demonstrate what it means to be righteous, in right standing with God. And for many of us, we've thought that is, well, not sinning, because we live in this performance world. But the two kingdoms, one is one of performance and one is one of relationship. And Jesus wanted to bring us back and say, you know what? Living in the kingdom of God is about relationship. And let me show you this. Let me demonstrate this. Let me begin my ministry on earth with a demonstration of the kingdom of God. And I would suggest the reintroduction, the reestablishment of the kingdom of God on this earth in the first time since Genesis. So it's a big deal. So How does God do things? How does God want us to live? How does he view our life? Because he's not a God that's saying, if you do everything right, I'll like you. Just like Tanya said, he loves us in all circumstances, whether we're doing well or we're not doing well. So what happens? Jesus gets baptized, and then we hear this statement from heaven. We hear the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And it's written in all the accounts, so it must be important of what it is. And I would like to kind of tease it apart a little bit and say, what is being said there? What we're having is we've got the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son," some highly precious, highly valued. So the much loved, beloved, you know, something that is precious to him. And added to that, my Son. So we've got value and we've got identity. And when you put those two things together, value and identity, you get dignity. You get the establishment of whom I'm well pleased. He hadn't done anything. He wasn't performing for his acceptance. He wasn't performing to please God. He was just living in a connected relationship with God. His value and his identity was set. He was the Son of God, and God was saying, "You're my Son. Wow, that's amazing. You're my beloved Son. You're highly valued, and I'm well pleased with you." And that is what we need to hear from heaven every time we connect with God. We do not need to be on a performance trip that says, "Oh God, I've made a mess again." In the worst situation that you've ever got yourself into, whether that has been a huge mistake or a criminal activity or an affair or whatever you can imagine, or you know, the darkest time, these words are still true. God will speak over you. "You are my beloved Son or daughter in whom I'm well pleased." You're a child of God, and that doesn't change. That is the amazing thing about the kingdom of relationship as opposed to the kingdom of performance. And if you go off on a track after baptism trying to be good, trying to keep all the yellow out of your life and constantly going round and round, you'll have fallen into the trap of performance again. Even though you started on the starting point, you'll have fallen into that trap. But if you accept and understand Jesus's baptism, that it's not about performing to be something, it's about being something. It's about being a son, being a daughter, being loved, and then out of that, we can do stuff. And that's what Jesus was saying. First of all, I'm going to get this set, and then you know what? I'm going to do some stuff. And when you see that stuff, you'll be amazed. But that isn't the important thing. The important thing is, I am a son, a child of God. And in Mark's gospel, it says that the heavens, when God spoke, the heavens were torn open. And it, to me, it's like the starting of the destruction of the kingdom of this world and the establishment of the kingdom of our God. It's the grace of God that we live in. It's what Jesus has done for us that we live in. It's not self-effort. It can never be self-effort. The work that we have to do is what I spoke about in the last 6 or 7 weeks. Remain connected to God, connect to him quickly, connect to him early, and remain connected to him. The kingdom of God was demonstrated the way that it works. God initiated, he spoke. And this is an important kind of sort of understanding that, like we've said, when God speaks, it's him who's initiating it. It's never our idea. Baptism, even if we want to do it, is not because we think it's a good thing to do. It's because God has invited us into relationship. Everything that we do, it's his invitation. It's his initiation of it all. It's him who's drawing us. It's him who's giving us everything that we need. So it's God who initiates. It's God who takes responsibility to communicate. You might think, "I've sought God and I figured it out." Well, let me suggest that it's him who started it first. It's him who always starts it first. And Jesus then had to agree. He had to agree when God said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." He had to go, "Okay, I believe that." And there are times when we don't believe that and we argue with God and we say, "You couldn't possibly love us. We're so miserable. We do everything wrong." That's you disagreeing with God. And let me respectfully suggest, stop doing that. Just accept it. "You know what? I don't know why you love me, but you see value in me that I can't see. You see something in me. You see the uniqueness of what you've created. And even in all this mess, you can see it." Just like a parent can see beyond all the mud and all the chaos and all the tantrums and everything else. You know, it was fun in the Jubilee seeing parenting and it's, you know, got a lot of press, but actually what you did see is some really great moments where, regardless of what Louis was doing, good or bad, he was still in the family. They weren't ejecting him from the balcony. He was sitting on knees. They were trying to keep him still for 2.5 hours, which if you try to do that for a four-year-old, good, you know, good on you. And but he was still loved. And he was still in the family, and he was still at the end a valued a person, regardless of whether he, you know, done this to his mum or or whatever. And that's the same. You do that to God, he smiles. You're still valuable, and you have to agree with that. And when you do that, when God initiates and you agree, then the Holy Spirit can empower the situation. And that's what we see as Jesus goes out from baptism, that he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit landed him in bodily form like a dove, and suddenly the Trinity are back together again, and his kingdom is going to be established and going to start to fill this world. There's a prophecy in the Bible that says a stone not cut by human hands, and it expands to fill this world. And I believe that this world will be covered with the knowledge of the fullness of God. It says, like the waters cover the sea, that as Jesus started this, it set a chain reaction that we're part of to cascade his kingdom into being. At that moment, Jesus's true identity is established, that he is the Son of God, and he is a loved Son of God, and he doesn't have to do anything. That will always remain the case. So the question is that got anything to do with the baptism that you understand? And more importantly, when you were baptized and you came up from that water, did you hear the voice of the Father saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased"? Because if you didn't, then I think you missed something. I'm not saying he wasn't saying it, I'm just saying you might not have heard it. Because I believe that is crucial and important, and it's possible to... The question often when we do this teaching is, well, do I need to get rebaptized? I don't think you need to get rebaptized necessarily, but I think you need to stop and say to the Father, "Can I hear those words? Could you say those words over me? Can I hear those things as though, you know," and put yourself in that place. If you can remember your baptism, go back to it and think, just imagine yourself coming up out of that water and hearing those words from heaven. You may have had words and prophecies, and other people may have done that stuff here, which is great, but you also need to have heard from heaven, from your Father, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. As it is in heaven, so it will be on earth." This is what Jesus was starting to do. And that tear that started in his baptism. In Mark's gospel, there's a word in the Greek that he uses for the heavens tore open, and that word is refrained at the end of Jesus's life, when the curtain was torn in two, when Jesus was on the cross and he'd finished his work. Then the temple, the finished work, was that the separation from God and man was done away with. But it started, the tear started with baptism. It's like, you know, that first noise. If you've got a tight shirt or something and you hear that noise, rip, you know, that was the noise that was heard. And next time we meet, we'll talk about what the enemy's reaction to that was, because it wasn't just heard in the natural, it was heard in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm, because something amazing was going to happen and was going to start with baptism. And I believe that's what God wants for each one of us. So I hope I've sort of teased your mind a little bit, and you start rethinking it. Have a talk with people, discuss, try and find out, and have a think, and particularly have a think about, have you heard from the Father that you're his beloved son? So let me pray for you. And yeah, you know, whenever you get hit, whenever you get an emotional hit, whenever you get those things that knock you, they're always going to be things that knock your value and your identity. They're going to be things that make you feel worthless or make you feel a nobody. That's your dignity getting knocked. That's what we're talking about with cycling. That constantly goes on. And you need to go back to God and get that reestablished on a regular basis, if not a daily, moment by moment basis. So, Father, I thank you that that is always going to be your word to us. The first, the last, every time in between, you are going to say to us, hey, don't forget, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Before anything, that is your heart towards us. And Father, I just pray for anyone here today who's struggling with that. Maybe this is the first time you've heard that and you can't even believe it. But I just pray that you would choose to believe that that could be true, and you would start to walk as though it is true. And then you would be able to hear from the Father and know that you know that you know. No one can take that away from you. No one can rob you of that dignity, because whatever they think of you, you know what the Father thinks of you. And I just pray, Lord, in these troubled times, that we would be those who run to you, not because we've got to perform in a certain way, but because you're the one who loves us the most. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.